Okay, so what I want to do is explore the story of the request of the two shvatim, which becomes two and a half, but starts with two anyways, to live not on the west side of the Jordan, but on the east side of the Jordan. And I want to before we sort of read the story, what I want to do is I want to analyze it at two levels. One is, as we're going to see, right, the two shvatim are going to ask Moshe if they're allowed, if they can live on the east bank because there's good pastures for their animals and they have a lot of animals. And then Moshe is going to challenge them. And Moshe is going to say, how could you do that? And they're going to say, look, and Moshe's going to say, how can you do that? How can you abandon your brothers? And they're going to say, look, we're not abandoning anyone. We just want to be here, but we're planning on fighting with everybody. We just want to live here. It's better financially. You know, don't worry. We're still going to be, we're still going to partake in the battle. We're going to contribute. Don't worry about it. So one of the things that we have to keep our eyes out for, which is a big machlokas, and the Rishonim is who was right. Not sort of morally, but just factually. Meaning when they say we never meant to abandon our brothers, we always planned on fighting, are they telling the truth or not? Meaning is there a misunderstanding? Did Moshe think that they wanted to abandon their brothers and it wasn't really true? And then when Moshe gives them Musar, they backtrack? Right? Or was Moshe wrong? Right, was Moshe wrong? They always meant it. And that's one question you've got to deal with. And the second one I want to deal with is to analyze it from Moshe's perspective, which is what exactly is he experiencing as he hears them talk? And that will then weigh in on the first, which is it possible that the way he experiences this story is in such a way that it would cloud his judgment? And make it hard for him to understand the story. So those are the two questions I want to deal with. And you know, the sources here are mostly just the psukim with a few others. Okay, but this is the story. So umiknei rav haya levnei Reuven velevnei Gad atzum meod vayiru et eretz Yazer et eretz Gilad vine makom mekom mikneh. So Reuven and Gad have a tremendous amount of cattle. And they see that on the east side of the Jordan, so Yazer and Gilad, was a place with a lot of cattle. Vayavov v'nei God v'nei Reuven vayomru el Moshe ve'el Elazar ha-Kohen ve'el Nisei ha-Yedeh le'mor. So they come, the two Shvatim, the children of God and Reuven, come to Moshe and to Elazar and to the leaders, and they say, Atarot v'divon v'yazer v'nimra v'cheshbon ve'el alei u'shivam u'nevo u've'omre. All these cities, ha'aretz asher hikah Adonai lefnei Adat Yisrael, eretz miknei. Right, they present this as a very simple proposal. They say the land which we have already conquered is a land of it's of cattle pasture, and we have cattle. And then pasuk hay is vayomru imatzanu chen ve'inecha. And they say, if we have found favor in your eyes, let this land be given to us as an inheritance and don't take us over the Jordan. Now, there's a very subtle problem in the Psukim. It's a slight thing that we've noted several times throughout Chumash that if you don't pay attention, you miss it. But if you notice it, it's very important. And that is the vayomru model, right? Is Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven are talking, right? In Pasuk Bet, vayomru al Moshe, but then in Pasuk Hey, it's vayomru, they speak again. Now, whenever you have vayomru, without, it, you know, imagine it in a book, right? It's he said, and then he said, right? You don't normally have to say he said twice, right? You only say he said, she said, he said, when you go from speaker back to speaker. But if you have vayomru from the same person, so what the Torah is usually indicating to you is that there was a response, and the response was silence, right? Is that there should have been a response, right? And there wasn't, right? So the Torah doesn't tell you that, but What clearly happens, right, is right off the right at the beginning, what they do is their first attempt, and if you look, right, there's a little samach here. It's even a parsha. Right? It's its own unit, right? In the Torah, you'd have a break between these psukim, right? Almost visually indicating the silence, right? They talk, and then there's just a break, and then they talk again. Right? They know, right? They know that what they're saying to Moshe is not something he wants to hear. So whenever you are saying something you don't want someone to hear, your first attempt is to try to get them to reach the conclusion as if it's their own idea. You know, so they come to Moshe and they say, Moshe, you know, the land that God conquered, that God allowed us to conquer, it's very from, that God allowed us to conquer, it's a great pasture, right? And it's, right, their words are careful here, because in English it doesn't do it justice, right? In English it would be, it's pasture and we have cattle. But in Hebrew it's Eretz Mikneh, it's pasture for cattle and we have cattle. Right, they're trying to set it up so it's very obvious. You know, it's a good place for cattle, and you know we have cattle, and it's very from. God gave us this amazing place for cattle, and we have cattle. Right, it's like, you know, there's a religious element to it. Like, isn't it obvious that what God wants from us is to take advantage of the bracha that he's given us, right? They're just begging for it because they don't want to actually say to Moshe, you know, can we have it? Right? The first thing they want is Moshe to say, you know, I have an amazing idea. Why don't you come and live on the east side of the Jordan? You know, we need someone to stake it out. And probably there's a military component to it, right? This is, let's say, their colonies, right? It's not, or their territories, right? It's not actually the mainland Israel, they know that. But whenever you have territories, you need somebody to stake it out, right? You need someone to be there. You know, it's almost a selfless act. You know, we have this territory, this vast tract of land, and someone needs to be there. And, you know, we're just a logical people, but it doesn't work, right? And so you get another Vayomru. Right? And the Torah is telling you that there is a silence. There's a silence hanging in the air that Moshe doesn't let them get their way. Moshe doesn't give in and say, oh, sure, that's a great idea. Moshe just is silent. If you want to ask, then you have to ask. Right? None of this beating around the bush. If you have something you want to say, please say it, and then we'll discuss. So they try again. And if you notice, the difference between the first one and the second one is quite striking. Because this time they say, Vayomru imatzanu chein beinecha. Right, the dead silence, right? You wonder, why the second Vayomer are they starting off, if we found favor in your eyes? Because that silence was uncomfortable, right? There's a bit of anger there. They know that the fact that Moshe has given them a stony silence means that they know that what they're saying, they have to admit, they have to own up to it, right? The first time, they weren't owning up to the fact that what they're saying might be a problem. So they try again. If we found favor in your eyes, meaning we understand that we're about to say might not find favor in your eyes, so let's try this again. Let this land be given as inheritance to us. Al ta'avireinu ha'yardein. Don't make us go over to the west side. And now we have the ambiguity. Right, al tavireinu ha'yarden can mean one of two things. Al tavireinu ha'yarden means either don't make us go at all, or don't make us go permanently. Right, that's the ambiguity that's hanging in the air. Vayomer Moshe livnei God vilivnei Reuven. So Moshe says to them. Now Moshe responds, Hachichem yavu lamilchama, vatem teshvu fo. Right now Moshe is angry, and Moshe understands the words al ta'avireinu, don't make us go over, as don't make us go at all. Right, don't make us go at all. Are your brothers going to go fight, and you're going to stay here? Meaning, your brothers still have to conquer their inheritance. Yours is, you want this land, which is already conquered, and you're going to go. We're going to go by ourselves, and you're going to abandon us. And then Moshe, being, as we've seen over and over through Bamidbar, the leader of the first generation, brings in his memories from that first generation to influence how he understands this. He says, "V'lama tiniyunet leiv b'nei Yisrael me'avor el ha'aretz asher natan lahem Adonai?" Why are you going to? Why are you going to turn the minds? Okay, that's how they translate it, right? Why are you going to make the Jews change their mind of going into the land that God promised them? This is what your forefathers did. This is what they did with the Meraglim. And they came to Nachal Eshkol, and they saw the land, and they turned the heart of the Jewish people to not go into the land that God had given them. And God got angry on that day and swore that im yiru anashim olim mitzrayim ben 20 shana v'malet adam asher nishbati l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yaakov ki lo milu acharai. And he said, I swear, if the people, meaning they won't, the people from 20 to 60, they're not going in to the land that I promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov because they didn't follow me fully. Bilti Kalev ben Yifunak, Nizib, Yoshua ben Nun, Kimelu Acharei Adonai, except for Yoshua and Kalev. Vayichar Af Adonai b'Yisrael, Vayiniyem b'Midbar, Arbaim Shana, Atom Kol Adora Osea Ra, B'nei Adonai. And God was angry. Now, you can always tell the light, right, the light words, the words that repeat themselves, right? So Moshe doesn't say he's angry. He just uses the word angry a lot to describe God, right? Vayichar, God was angry. You know, God was angry. You remember that God was angry, right? It's Moshe is venting without saying, I'm angry. But he's saying, you know, you made, you know, God angry. Their forefathers did it. And there is this fun play on language where it's an aleph ayin. It's an aleph ayin switch. But it sounds nice, right? Which is, lama tini'un et leiv b'nei Yisrael, right? Why will you turn the hearts of B'nai Israel, and the like your forefathers is, Vayani'u, right? He uses it three times, right? Why should you turn the hearts of the Jewish people in Pasuk Zion? And then in Tet, he says, your forefathers, Vayani'u, at Leiv B'nai Israel, they turned it. And now with an Ayin, he says, the punishment for Vayani'u, because they turned it, was Vayani'u with an Ayin, that God made them wander, right? From Navanad, right? It's a pun. Right, but it's a pun that's meant to get the point across that because you turned the heart of the Jewish people, God punished you by making you wander. Right, but it's, you know, every so often you'll have it. But my guess is that's meant to be an intentional. It's an intentional pun, right? To draw the midah keneged midah that you turned their hearts vayaniu, so God punished you with vayaniim. Vine, and then he draws the conclusion, right? If I haven't spelled it out enough for you. Vine, kamtem tachar avoteichem tarbut anashim chataim lishpot od al-charon af Adonai l'Yisrael. And now you have taken, you've stood in place of your fathers, you breed of sinful men, to add further to God's wrath against the Jewish people, right? Charon, again, right? This is generation two people, right? And now you're just doing the same thing and you want to turn their heart again and they have Charon Af? You'll have Charon Af. Are you bringing God's anger against the new generation? Ki tishovun me'acharav v'yasaf od l'anichol b'midbar v'shichatem l'cholam hazeh? Because then they'll turn away from God and God will have to punish you again and he'll have to make you wander again and you'll destroy this generation again. Right, the last time this happened, they all died in the desert, and do you want that to happen to you too? Right, that seems to be what you would like. Right, and Moshe is livid. Right, Moshe is furious. Right, you can just hear it in his voice. Right, it starts with a stony silence, and then when they try to ask nicely, he gives it to them. He says, "You are the Meraglim all over again." Right, in a course of four or five psukim, he mentions God's wrath three times or four times and says, you are the cause of it and you're going to do it again. You are going to be responsible for the entire generation dying out, right? Moshe is fuming. So let's pause there for a minute and skip to the last page, right? As I said, there are two fundamentally different versions of understanding the story. The Abarbanel and Yitzchak HaRama are good symbolic ones here. I just took one of each. The Abarmanel understand this story as follows, right? Number five. Vihine, b'nei God of Nei Ruvain, v'ratzu lomar lo shechutz mimalat torato, min b'michilat kvodo, lo avin kavanatam. Right? God and Ruvain come to Moshe and they tell him, look, I would get you're really smart, but when the next line, when they say, you know, you misunderstand us, the Abarbanel takes them at their word, right? And says they're right, right? Moshe misunderstood. Moshe is angry. And therefore, but Moshe's anger is misplaced. He said, "Ein anachin rotzin lashevet po me'ata, aval nichaleitz chushim b'nei chalmachama machinu." We're not planning on settling here immediately. We're just saying long term. But don't worry, our plan was always to help the Jews. We're not the same as the Meraglim. The Meraglim were afraid to go in. We're not afraid. We'll go in. We'll fight on behalf of the Jewish people, just like they fought for the East Coast. We're good people. You just misunderstood us. Right, so the Abarbanel understands that this is one big story of misunderstanding. Rav Yitzchak Arama says, no. Amnam ani rabba ze, hu kine Moshe Adonino Allah v'shalom ba'utzim chochmato amara le'imut kavanatam. Rav Yitzchak Arama said, no, he's absolutely correct. Moshe, in his infinite wisdom, knew exactly what they wanted. Libo lev chacham asher limino. Right? He was wise. And he shot sharp arrows into their heart, right, so that they shouldn't sin, right? Meaning, Moshe saw that they were trying to abandon the Jews, and he gives it to them to try to make sure that that doesn't happen. And as he thought, that was in their heart. And I'm going to hold off on his proofs for a moment, right? Let's continue with their thing, and then let's try to see which of them makes right, which of them seems to be right. So you have two philosophies now, right? The first one is the Abarbanel, who says this is just one big misunderstanding, and then you have Yitzchak Arama, who says no, Moshe is absolutely correct, and his sort of harsh musar is what turned their hearts. So Yitzchak Arama, right, points to the next psukim. So they approach him again. And they say to Moshe as follows, Vayikshu Elav. They approach him. So the first thing that you see is that in the beginning there was a certain level of distance, and now there's not. Right? Now, again, for the Abarbanel, the reason is because they realize they've gotten Moshe angry because of a misunderstanding. So this is, coming over to someone, putting your hand on their shoulder and saying, look, I'm sorry, I know you're angry, but I really didn't mean it that way. Right? I really didn't mean it that way, but I understand why it came across. I'm sorry, right? It's a bit conciliatory. For Yitzchak Arama, it's more than that, is they realize they've made a mistake. And this isn't there was a misunderstanding. It's, we're really sorry we said that to begin with. You're right. Let's try this again. Let's start over. But either way, there's an attempt to mend the relationship. Vayikshu elav, vayomru. Gidro tzon nivne l'miknenu po, varim l'tapenu. They said, okay, let's build pens for our animals, for our sheep, and for our cattle, and the cities for our children. And we will go first, armed, before the Jews, right? We will be the vanguard, and we'll fight until they inherit the land. Right? How's that? Right? Let's try this again. We're going to keep this land. We still want this land. We're not backing off on that. But we're not going to abandon the Jewish people. In fact, we're not even just going to fight with them. We'll be the vanguard. We'll go in front. We'll take the danger. Right? We're happy to be part of the Jewish people. V'lo nashuv el beitenu adid nachel ben Israel ish nachlato. And we won't return home until everybody gets their portion. Ki lo ninchal itam me'ever liyardein v'hala. Ki va nachlatenu elenu me'ever liyardein mizracha. But we won't inherit on the other land, on the other side, because our inheritance has come to us on the east side. So Moshe says to them, "Vayomar lehem Moshe." And now Moshe comes down again, either because he's changed the either because of the clarification or because they've actually been contrite and changed the request. Vayomer lehem Moshe, im ta'asun et hadavar hazeh, im techaltzu lifnei Adonai lamilchama. So Moshe says to them, if you do this, and you go armed in front of them, before God to war, right? Moshe is very careful. Moshe changes it on them. Right? They say, we're going to go lifnei achenu. We're going to go before our brothers. And Moshe says, if you go before God. Right? This isn't just about, this isn't only about the Jews. This is a religious commitment. Right? You are now making a commitment to God. So if you fulfill your commitment to God, va'avar lochem kol chalutz et hayarden lifnei Adonai ad harishon oivav mipanav, and you cross over all armed people before God until they are conquered, until the enemies are driven out. V'nichtu v'shvar, it's lifnei Adonai. V'achar tashuvu, v'yitem nikinim me'adonai mi'Yisrael v'yitaret zazot lochem lachuzar lifnei Adonai. So then, God, when God conquers the land, afterwards you will return and you'll be clean, you'll be innocent, you'll be free from God and from the Jews, and you'll get to inherit this land before God. Right? He invoked Lifnei Hashem like every three words, right? Because he's making it clear, this is not just, right, I may be dead, but you will be held to your promise, because you're, this is a commitment to God. V'im lo ta'asun kein, hinei chatatem l'Adonai, u'du'u chatatchem asher timtza etchem. But if you don't do this, no, you will have sinned to God, right? That which he's implied until now, he now says explicitly. If you don't, this isn't just a sin to your fellow Jews, this is a sin against God. And know your sin, and you it will find you. B'nu lachem arim l'tabchem, g'dei rotzon l'tzonachem, v'yotzei mipichem, ta'asu. Build cities for your children, and build pens for your animals, and everything you've said, all that's come out of your mouth, do. Vayomer b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven al Moshe le'mor avadecha ya'asu kasher Adoni mitzaveh. Okay, again, one of these automatic changes. We'll do as you have commanded. Tapenu nashenu miknenu v'chol b'amtenu yusham b'arei Gilad. Our wives, our children, our animals will stay in Gilad. Vavadecha ya'aviru kol chalutz tzava lefnei Adonai l'milchama kasher Adoni dover. And we, all armed people, will go across as God, as our master has spoken. Vaitzav lehem Moshe el Azar Kohen v'Yoshua ben Nun v'Rashei Avod Amatot l'vnei Israel, l'vnei Israel rather. And so then Moshe gives the command to Elazar, Yoshua, and b'nei Israel. Vayomer Moshe alehem. Aleichem, im yavru v'nei Gad v'nei Reuven itchem et hayarden kol chalutz l'milchama lifnei Adonai v'nichbesha ha'aretz v'neichem u'netatem lahem et eretz hagilad l'achuza. If they do this, great. V'im lo yavru chalutzim itchem, but if they don't cross over, v'nochzu v'tochem eretz Kanaan, they will inherit with you on the west coast. V'yanu v'nei Gad v'nei Reuven le'mor asher diber Adonai l'avadecha ken ha'aseh. And they say this time, they've taken the hint about the God, and they say to them, as you said to God, we will do. Nachnu na'avor chalutzim lifnei Adonai eretz Kanaan v'itano chuzah nachalatenu ever yalardin. And then we will inherit on the east coast, on the east bank. Okay. So, is there any hint as to who is correct? Right? Is the Abarbanel right that this is just a mistake? Or is the Rizchak HaRama right that it wasn't a mistake? It almost became a disaster that they were going to abandon the other 10 Shvatim. But Moshe's Musar got to their heart and they did Shuvah and came up with a better proposal. Right now, I didn't put it here, but in Sefer Yoshua, they actually fulfill it. Right at the end of the wars, they come to Yoshua and they say, we've kept our part of the deal. And he sends them, you know, with his blessings to the East Bank. And then there's a bit of a disaster because they build a Mizbeach. And everyone thinks, oh my God, they're abandoning us. And they send a war. They send a, you know, an army to kill them and say, you can't abandon us, with Pinchas at its head, who was the guarantor of the vow here, right? Meaning it's no accident. They take Pinchas, who was one of the guarantors originally, and they say, no, again, it's a misunderstanding. We didn't mean that again. And the same Machlokas Mefarshim arises over there, right? Which is, when they say, when the Jews say, are you really going to worship a foreign god or set up a different temple, right? Are you abandoning us? And they say, no, that's not what we meant. It's just symbolic, so to remind us that we're still part of the Jews. Again, same machlokas mefarshim, which is it are they just perpetually bad at communicating what they want, right? And they're clarifying again, or is it yet another circumstance where they really were doing something bad, but it just takes someone giving them busur to diffuse the situation, right? Same machlokas mefarshim appears there. So is there any evidence? So there isn't a tremendous amount. It's a bit hard. But Rav Samet has an article on it where he points out that there are a few clues that point strongly in the direction that that Rav Yitzchak Rama had it right. Right? That they really did have a change of heart with Moshe's Musar. Just to point out a few of them. One of them is pointed out by Rashi. And that is that they perpetually seem to be focused on their money, right? There's a very greedy tone to the entire parsha. And Rashi picks up on it, based on the Midrash, on one very simple twist that Moshe has. And that is that even at the end, right, even when things are diffused and they come with their new proposal, they say to him in Pasuk Tet Zayin, Gidrot son ivnele mikneinu po varim letapenu. We will build animal pens for our cattle and then for our children. And Moshe switches it and says, build for your children and then for the animals. So one proof, right, that they actually are going through education here, right, that they're actually, there's not just miscommunication, but there's actually a re-education, is that their values seem to be skewed. That at the beginning, they're just obsessed with the money. And that even in the level of tshuva, even when they're saying, okay, we're not going to abandon them, they're saying, okay, but we'll have cities for animals, right, and our children. And Moshe said, no, you'll have cities for your children and pens for your animal. Meaning, even in stage two, where they've already done tshuva, Moshe's still re-educating them. And by the end, they switch again, right? They switch to what Moshe said. Okay, we'll build cities for our children. So there is a priorities shifting going on, which does seem to indicate that it's not misunderstanding and now Moshe, just clarification. Because even, right, if there's three stages, there's four, right? There's the first one where they try to get Moshe to respond and there's silence. The second one where Moshe gets furious. The third one where they have their new claim. And the fourth one where Moshe gives in and sets the parameters. Right, even between stage 3 and 4, Moshe is educating them and they're changing their minds and they're clarifying that it's not just about money. So once you realize that Moshe is actually educating them and giving them Musar throughout, that opens the possibility that this isn't the only thing they had Musar about. That's one. The strongest one, I think, though, is a very subtle, and this will bring us to the second half of the story here, a very subtle literary point that appears in the story. There is a light force, right? A milah mancha that appears through the whole story about 15 times. And that is the word avor, right? To cross over. But the story hints at a fundamental change in it, because the word avor does not mean the same thing in the first half of the story as in the second half. And if you look back at the story, in Pasuk Dalet, for example, they say, Al ta'avirenu et hayardain. Right? Don't make us cross over the Jordan. Now, if you summarize the story outside, so you read the story as follows. They say, don't make us cross over the Jordan. And Moshe would say, if you fight for the Jewish people, then I won't make you cross over the Jordan. But that's not what Moshe does. He subtly switches it on them. And he says, in Pasuk Chaf, Vayomar lehem Moshe, im ta'asuna davar azem techaltzu lefnei Hashem lemalchama. If you do this, and you are armed, and you go before God to war, v'ovar lochem kol chalutz et hayardein lifnei Hashem, and you do cross over armed, then you can inherit on this side. Right? Moshe flips it on them. And he says, you said, don't make us cross. I'm going to switch it and say, if you cross, I'll let you inherit on this side. And then again, in Pasuk, Chavtet. Vayomer Moshe aleihem, im ya'avru v'nei Gad b'nei Reuven, if you cross over, then you'll be allowed to inherit on the east side. And Moshe takes their word and flips it. Right? They had said, don't make us cross over. And Moshe says, no, I won't make you inherit on the west side if you don't want to. But I will make you cross over. Right? And that linguistic switch, right, is a, I think, a strong support to the Akedat Yitzchak. Meaning their original intent was, al ta'avirenu. Right, because in the second half of the story, the words al tavirenu means, in the second half, the word over doesn't mean inherit. It means crossover at all, to fight. In the first half, they said al tavirenu. Right, according to the Abarbanel, you'd have to read it as a flip. That they said, don't make us be over to inherit. And Moshe said, I won't make you be over to inherit, but I'll make you be over to fight. Or according to Yitzchak Rama, it's perfect. They say al tavirenu, don't make us go over at all. And Moshe says, no, I won't make you inherit it, but I will make you cross. I will make you be over. And that's, so there are these linguistic indications that that Moshe was correct. Okay. Second part of this, though. How does Moshe experience this story? Right, the one thing that's clear, according to Abarbanel, he's so angry, right? Abarbanel doesn't say this. Abarbanel just said he misunderstands it. The one thing I think that's clear is that Moshe's angry. He's very angry in this story. And for the Abarbanel, if the Abarbanel is right that Moshe misunderstood it, I would suggest the reason he's misunderstanding is because he's fuming, right? And he's not thinking straight. But why isn't he thinking straight? Right?
They have the opportunity to go and don't want to.
Exactly.
And he can't.
Right. And this is something that Aviva Zornberg points out. This is her analysis of this story. Is that if you want to understand the story, you've got to realize, you've got to try to get into Moshe's head. Right? And this comes back to that Mila Mancha, that word that appears over and over. 15 times in the story, whatever it is, they say, don't make us go over, 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 don't make us go over. We don't want to be on that side, we want to be on this side. We just don't want to go over, don't make us go over. And Moshe, even when he says you don't have to inherit, says, but you do have to cross over. Right? You don't have the choice to not cross over. And Aviva Zornberg says, well, how does Moshe feel? Right? Why is it that Moshe makes that linguistic change? Why does he tell them that even if you don't have to inherit, I will make you cross over? Why is he so obsessed with saying, you will cross, and if you don't cross, then I'll make you go over and inherit on that side also? I mean, you have a choice. You're going in one way or the other. Either you're going in and fighting, or you're going in and inheriting, right? What type of punishment is that? Right? I mean, he says to Yoshua, he says, if they don't cross over to fight, you will make them inherit on the west, right? You would expect a punishment rather than, well, if they back out, they don't want to fight, then drag them over and give them free land just on the west coast and not the east, right, on the west bank and not the east bank. And the answer seems to be because Moshe is going crazy, right? Moshe is so upset because Moshe, more than anybody, loves the land, right? I gave a very simplified version of this. I gave this year at Bayit, I think last year or 2 years ago, but I gave a very simplified version that same week. I think I was giving shir. I gave once a year. We do Moshevah by ear, right? But the simple idea was actually something I could get across to them, right? I said, imagine the following, right? I had a bag of candy, right? I don't remember if I took it or the school gave it to me or the camp gave it to me to give to the students, to get them into Parsha shir. So I think it was a bag of Twizzlers or something, and I asked them, I said, okay, who here likes Twizzlers, right? So most of them raised their hand, and one of them didn't raise their hand. So I gave the entire bag of Twizzlers to the kid who didn't like it, and I said, you are now responsible to giving it to people, but only if they don't want it, right? That's what I said, right? But Aviva Zornberg points out that if you want to understand why Moshe is so angry, you have to realize that that's what's going on. Is that Moshe, more than anything in the world, wants to go into Israel, And now he has to deal with people who have the chance to get it, and they don't want it. Right? And that is maddening. And she points out, if you look at Pasuk, no, source 2, here's the proof. Hashem tells Moshe as follows, right? In Dvarim. Ve'ra'aretz hazot yarashem ve'de. Sorry, when Moshe is retelling the story, he says as follows. Moshe reminisces, and he says, remember the east bank of the Jordan? Well, we inherited it, and I gave it to Reuven and Gad. And in that same unit, a few psukim later, he says, I told Yoshua at that time that everything that God did on the east bank to those two kings, he'll do for you in the land that you cross over. And Aviva Zornberg said, wait. Why did Moshe... Moshe is retelling the story, and he says, at that time, what's that time? While I was giving the land to Reuven and Gad, I felt it necessary to turn to Yoshua and give him instructions about the land. Why? Well, she said, look at that word. Over Shama. Right? Because when they said, I don't want to cross over, I lost it. Right? I lost it. They said, we don't want to be over into Israel. And I said, you don't want to be over? So I gave them the land. But at that time, I felt compelled to say to Yoshua, but you know what happened on the east bank? You are going to the west bank. Right? It's not ending on the east bank. Just because Reuven and Gad took their portion on the east bank doesn't mean it's over. You're going. You're over. Lo tiraum ki adonai lechem asher hu menilcham lachem. And don't be afraid, because God who fought for you is fighting for you. And then he goes farther. He said, you know what else I was compelled to do? At that same time, I did two things. One is I told Yoshua, don't worry, you're going over. But I also turned to God. V'adchanan el adonai ba'ed ha'i lemor. And again, Moshe says, at that moment, I turned to God. And I prayed and I said, Hashem Elokim, ata hachilota la'arot et avdecha, gadlecha ve'edadcha, chazaka, asher miel ba'shamayim v'aret, shayazech ma'asech v'artecha. God, you've just started to show your servant your strength. Who's God in heaven? And who can do all these amazing things that you do? Ebrana, let me, and that's that key word, let me cross over. Right, Ebrana, let me be over. Ve'er'er ha'aret ha'tova asher be'ever ha'yardain. Right, let me go, let me see the land, Asher Be'ever Hayardain, which is on the other side. Right, again, Ahara Tova Zeva, that good land, right? He's begging him at that moment. Why at that moment? Why at that moment does he need to turn to Yoshua and say, Yoshua, you're crossing over? And then turn to God and say, let me cross over. Because he's going crazy. All he ever wanted was to go to Israel. And then he's faced with two tribes who have the opportunity to go in, and they say, well, we don't want to go in. And Moshe, so Aviva Zornberg said, get into his head. At that moment, all he can do is turn to God and say, please, everybody else, they don't even want to go in. I have to bend over backwards to tell them that they should go in. I should bend over backwards to tell them that even if they don't want to inherit, they don't have the option of not being over. Right? They said, Al Tavi Reinu. I said, you will be over. Even if you want to inherit on the east bank, you will be over. And at that point, Moshe said, I turned to God and said, just let me be over too. Right? I want it. They don't want it. Why are they getting it and I'm not getting it? This is not fair. This is, right? This is the guy who doesn't want the candy getting it. And no one else being allowed to have it, right? He's going crazy. And he says to him, but, and then, if it's not clear enough, Moshe says in a singular use of the word, Vata'aber Adonai bilmanchem velo shamai elai. Vayomer Adonai elai rav lach. Al tosef daber elai od bedaber zeh. God got angry at me because of you. And he said, stop talking to me about this. Right? And she points out, this is, normally, when God gets angry, the word is vayicharaf Hashem, vayichas, right? Nowhere else do you have the word vate'aber to mean anger, right? But in Moshe's head, it's God got angry at me because he said, stop saying over, Right? It's vata'aber. That's what he's hearing in Moshe's head, because Dvarim is his own retelling. Right? Moshe is saying, all I could hear is God saying, it's the same word as ta'avor. Right? He said, God got angry at me. How did he get angry at me? He said, don't let me go, you can't go over. And, you know, you hear other words which are so painful, right? Rav lach, right? Which is part of their story, which is, mikne rav. We have so many animals, and that's why we don't want to be go over. And Moshe says, God said to me, rav lach. I don't have a lot of animals, keeping them on the east bank. What do I have? I want to go into Israel. And God says, no, rav lach, you have too much. What do you mean I have too much? They had too much, so they wanted to stay in the East Bank. I don't want to stay in the East Bank, I just want to go over there. That's all I want. God saying to me, that's too much. Right? The two Shvatim were complaining they had too much. I don't have what I want, and God is telling me, no, you do, you have too much. They don't, right? They have too much, so they don't have to go over. Your too much is going over. And then Hashem makes it even worse for him. Because Moshe had said, let me go over to see. And Hashem tells him the absolute worst thing he could say is, no, 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 you can see it, don't worry. You wanted to go in and see it, but you're just going to look at it, right? You can see it. You wanted to see it, right? He splits his words. You want to see it, you can see it. Go to the top of the mountain, look in every direction, and see everything that I'm not giving you. Because Al Tavor, you will not go there, right? He's dangling in front of his eyes, but he's not giving to him. Instead, command Yoshua, because he is going to be over. Right? And so Aviva Zornberg very dramatically plays this out, but she says, you understand what's going on here. The reason Moshe is so upset in the story, you can tell from his retelling, because all he could hear at that moment was, they don't want to be over, and they can, because of some money, because they have Mikneh Rav. And in that moment, I said, Yoshua, you are so lucky. You are going over. And I turned to God by Ein Hayi. Right? Why that moment was he so upset, so hurt, that he needed to turn to God? Because he said, God, this is not fair. Everybody else doesn't want it. They want everything else. They have Rav Mikneh. I want one thing in life, to go over. And God says, you don't get it. Instead, I'm going to dangle it in front of your eyes, and you will not be over. You will be Roeh. You can see it. Right? But it'll be given to the people who are ungrateful for it. And that's the tragedy of this story. And she points to two midrashim, which seem, well, more, but I only gave you two of them, that seem to highlight this point. So she points at number three. Lefichach kishabau la'avur hayardein. Right? This is like a heartbreaking midrash. The midrash says that when they came time to cross the Yarden, right, that key word again, to actually go in, Moshe turns to the Jewish people and reminds them of all the times he defended them. Every plea he made on their behalf. Shahaya Savur, Shahim Vakshim Allah Rachamim Shekanesimahem. He just thought that they would daven for him so that he could go over. Mao ata over. Because how does he know? Because Moshe introduces his tefillah to them and says, the land which you are now crossing over to. So the Midrash says, why did he preface it by saying the land you cross over? Amar Reb Tanchuma, Shea Moshe mechabed atzma lifneihem, v'omer lehem atem ovrim. Moshe prostrated himself before the Jews and said to them, you are crossing over. Ani eini over, and I'm not crossing over. Upatach lehem petach, shema yivakshu alav rachamim. And he said, he opened it up for them. Maybe they'll daven for me. They'll ask for mercy for me. Right? After 40 years of him defending them, they didn't understand. What's this like? A king had many children from a particular noble woman. Sarcha alav matrona, right? And this noble woman, right? Either she wasn't loyal to him or something like that. Bikesh lo tzian, the king wants to divorce her. And then to rub it in, he says to her, by the way, not only am I divorcing you, but I'm going to marry someone in your place. Amr lo, in. She said, okay, v'inata omer li mi uzesh ata atid li tol, will you at least tell me who's replacing me? And he said, sure, omer laponit, I'm happy to tell you who I'm remarrying, who's going to take your place. Ma'asta matrona, then what does she do? Kinsat panah, she brings her children in, and amra lahen, heve yodin shavichem mevakesh legarsheni v'li tol plonit. Know that your father is going to divorce me and marry someone else. Yecholim atem shelo lishtabed ba. Do you think you'll be able to be oppressed by her, literally? Meaning, do you think you can handle her being your stepmother? Amrullah, hein. They said, yeah, I think we're okay with it. We'll be fine. Amrullah, hein. Teidu, mayat alasod b'chem. Let me explain to you what she's going to do to you, right? She's the wicked stepmother of fairy tales. Vaita omeret shema yavino v'yakshu ala'amayavin, because she thought maybe they'll understand what's about to happen and they will intercede with their father. V'loyu mevinim, but they didn't get it. Kevan shelo hevinu, and after they couldn't get it, they didn't understand. Amra, v'eim yitzavhetchem elu b'shvil atzmechem, shetiyu zirim b'chavar avichem. So she said, you know what? You know why I'm telling this to you? For your own good, because so that you will honor your father. Because look what happens when he was angry at me. Kach Moshe. Moshe is the same way. Kevan shamar lo kadosh baruch hu. Kach lechad Yoshua bin Nun. Moshe tells them, Hashem tells Moshe, take Yoshua. Ki lo tavor yarden hazeh, because it's not you. Ayomer lefnei Yisrael, he said to them, Vayaki v'yacha Hashem lokech al aretz asher atav Hashem l'reshta atov v'ayom ani ein over. He said to the Jews, you're crossing over the land, but I'm not. Shema yavinu v'vatro l'vrachamim. Because he hoped that as they watched God replace him, they would ask for mercy on his behalf. And after 40 years, they don't get it. Right? It's a whole commitment. They don't sense it. When they don't get it, Amar, he said, forget it. I still care about you. So let me give you parting advice for your own sake. That you should not fall into the situation I was in. And anger God. Shneemar and Hashem Elokech Hatira. And that's why he gives the advice in Dvarim. And she looks at the Midrash and she said, the Midrash is tragic. Right? The Midrash is telling you that Moshe is standing there with his replacement, where they're getting the one thing he always wanted, and he turns to them and he says, you're going over. He wants them to hear him crying and saying, I wanted to go over, but I can't daven for myself anymore. God said no. Maybe they'll intercede. And it just goes over their head. After all the years of commitment, everything, right? They don't hear him. They don't get it. They don't hear the cry. They don't hear the desperation in his voice. They just don't even notice it. They're like, okay, so we'll go to the Yoshua. Big deal. It's like this mother who's trying to explain that they're going to have a stepmother who's going to be cruel. And they're like, okay, that's okay. See ya. Right, that's how Moshe felt. And then, even at that point, Moshe says to them, okay, you may be heartless, but I still care about you. Don't sin, because you'll end up where I am. Right, that's what Chazal are imagining in this Over moment. That's why Moshe is so angry, so upset, so hurt. Right, that's why he's so angry with the two Shvatim, and that's why he's so desperate and davens to God at that moment. But part of it really is that it's not fair, because the mashal isn't right. Right, the midrash is off. Because, and this is something we've talked about in Bamidbar many times, he's not actually talking to the first generation. Right, Moshe views it as his children, who he defended many times. But they don't. Right, maybe he would have had that rapport with the first generation, that they would sense it. But it's really not. It's really the second generation. You can't really blame them that they don't hear it in his voice, because it's not the same people he defended, right? The Midrash is aligning that for you. The Midrash is pretending. From Moshe's perspective, that's what it is. It's the same people I defended for 40 years don't care that I'm not going in with them. From their perspective, it really isn't, right? It really is. They're another generation. Yoshua is part of their generation. It makes sense for them, but it's tragic for Moshe. One more midrash that she points to in number 4. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni b'shvil atzmor lehem Moshe d'advar hazeh. Moshe said this with regards to himself. What did he say? Ketzad. Shnei dvarim gazar kadosh baruch hu. God made two decrees in the land. Echad al Yisrael ve'echad al Moshe. He said one thing about the Jews and one for Moshe. Echad al Yisrael sh'b'sha sh'aso so ma'oto ma'aseh minayin sh'nei ma'arif minu v'ashmidein. One was the Egel. And God said, Moshe said at that moment, God said, you know, let me destroy them. Or this might have been the Meraglim. I'm not sure which one this is referring to. I have to look back. The Echad Shem Al Moshe. And one thing about Moshe, Bishar Shebikesh Moshe, I think it's the Eagle though. Bishar Shebikesh Moshe Likanesh Laaretz Yisrael. When Moshe wanted to go into Israel, Amar Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, God said to him, Lo Tabor Da Yarden Azed, don't go into the Yard, cross the Yarden. Moshe Bikesh Megadosh Baruch Hu, Levatel Ech Dehen, Moshe said, right, get rid of the decrees. Both of them. I mean, don't destroy the Jews and let me go into the land. Amar Lefanav Rabbono Shel Olam, Slach Navon Azev Galgul Chazdecha. It's the Egel, right? That one for sure is, right? I think both of them are. They both are, right? Forgive them. Uvat Lashel HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Gamash Shel Moshe. Moshe, God said, look, you won. Right? I wanted to destroy the Jews after the Egel. You win. Minayin Shenemar Shalachti Kiverecham. That's what I said. I've forgiven you as your own words. Kevan Shebali Kanes Laretz Yisrael. When they got to Israel, Hitchil Omer Ebra Naver Ed Aretz HaTovah. Moshe said, let me cross over to the good land. Amar Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. So God said to Moshe, listen, I've already given up once and let you win. I said, I'll destroy them. You said, forgive. I forgave them. Again, time two. I want to keep what I said, which is you can't go into Israel and you know, frustrate what you want. Moshe. But he said, listen, he said, you want everything, right? You want both ends. So here's your choice. You get one wish. It's one or the other. It's up to you. Amar lo, im ebrana na ata mevakesh lakayim batel slachna. Im slachna ata mevakesh lakayim batel ebrana. You have a choice. I'll let you keep one of them. You can go in, but I'll destroy them. Right? Meaning, your old wish was that the Jews should live even after the Egel. So now, one or two wishes. I can undo your last wish, and the Jews will all die, but I'll let you go into Israel. Right? I give you one choice. Or, if the imslach not, I'm a vacation l'kayim, but if you want your first wish to stand, meaning the Jews should survive, batel ebrana, then you have to give up on what you want. You can't have both. It's you or them. Amar Rav Shuv ben Levi, kevan sheshama Moshe Rabbeinu kach, when Moshe heard that, Amr lefana rabbona sha'olam yamut Moshe umei avachayit seba v'lo tinazek si parno shalachad mehem. Let Moshe and 100 Moshes died and let not a nail on their fingers be hurt. Amr Shmuel bar Yitzchak came and shenetam Moshe lamut v'lo bikshu alav rachamim shikanas aret kinei sotan v'itchil mochichan. And he said that's why when Moshe was dying and they never davened for him, he got so angry and gave all the mozer and dvarim. Right? And both these midrashim highlight the same point, that Moshe gave up his life for the Jews. And even when they don't understand him, and even when they're ungrateful, and even when he needs them and they don't listen, and even when they aren't even grateful what they're getting, they don't want to go into Israel, and that's all he wants. Right? Moshe is standing there crying. He's begging God. He said, no one else wants Israel. I want it. Let me go. Moshe's begging, and he's saying, I would sacrifice my life for them in a moment. I've done it many times. All I need is for them to daven. I can't daven for myself anymore. But maybe they can daven for me. They don't get it. And Moshe is just heartbroken. Right? It's the tragic sort of end of Moshe's life. And that's why he's so... You sense his anger in the two Shvatim. Because all he's hearing is, as we saw, right? Hashem waved it in front of him. He said, let me cross over. And God said, you can't cross, but you can look. Right, I'll dangle it in front. You can look at what you're not getting. And Moshe's losing it. He hears them saying, I don't want to go. I don't want to cross over. I don't want to go over. I don't want to go over. And Moshe says, that's all I want in life. Right? All I see is Yoshua who's replacing me, which is Midrash 1. Right? He's the stepmother who's coming in. I want the Jews to understand what they are getting, that I'm losing. I want them to intercede on my behalf, but we don't identify anymore. They don't hear me. We don't speak the same language. They don't hear how upset I am. I'm willing to sacrifice it. God is, according to the second Midrash, willing to give Moshe the chance. It's you or them. And Moshe, despite it all, says, okay, them. And despite that, they still don't appreciate Israel and they don't appreciate him. And this is the end of Moshe's life. And Moshe, that's why he's so angry. And if you come back to it, that's why I think it works, right? Because let's take Rav Yitzchak Aramah's claim that they really were doing a tshuva there, right? It wasn't that Moshe was wrong. He was absolutely right. So then what exactly was it that flipped that switch in their mind that said, you know what? Maybe you don't go into Israel, but we can't just abandon Israel. We can't abandon our brothers, right? We can't abandon God. It's because Moshe's standing there, not just furious. He's sad. He's depressed. He's upset. He feels betrayed. And he turns to them and he says, are you really telling me that I want to be over there. I want to go over and you don't want to go? And they say, okay, you win. We don't want to inherit there, but we'll be over there. If that's what you want, right? If that's what you want, we will be over there. We'll go over to the other side. Right? We will go. We will fight. We will enter Israel. We still want to inherit here, which I get it, you don't understand. But we see how important it is to you to be over, to cross over into Israel. Just for a moment. That's what you ask God, right? Don't even inherit. Just let me cross over once. So we'll do it. Right? And when they see how hurt Moshe is and how sincerely he's begging for them to value Israel, it wakes them up. Right? It's that sincerity that comes through. It's that pain that comes through. It's this tragic story where Moshe is trying to get them to at least appreciate what they have, which he is not getting. And in the end, it's tragic because he doesn't get it. And they don't fully understand him. But they do seem to understand him enough that it changes their perspective. They still say, we're going to stake our claim out on the East Coast, on the East Bank. But at least they say, we'll take the opportunity that's given to us and denied to you, and we'll go into Israel. We will be part of this conquest. We'll be part of this gift that God has given us. And Moshe says, okay, I may not be happy, but if you do that, fine. And then you understand Moshe's punishment, so to speak, to them. And he says, but if you don't, right, you will be dragged kicking and screaming across and will be given free land on the West Bank. Right? What type of punishment is it? It's not a punishment. He's saying, look, if you can't value it, you don't want to go over. If you value Israel, you just want to colonize the East Coast for financial reasons. I may not love it. But if you love Israel and you understand what you're giving up, I'll deal. But if you back out on this and you say, nah, we're not going to go in, I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to drag you, Yoshua and Eleazar and Pinchas are going to drag you kicking and screaming, and you will live in Israel. If it's the last thing I can ever do is to make sure that either you value Israel before you move to the East Bank, and if you don't, then you will move there and you will learn to like it. Right? It's not a punishment. Moshe is saying, if the last thing I can ever do is make you value what it is that you're getting, that I'm giving up, that I'm losing, then I will do it. And that's Moshe's legacy to them, is that it's sad, it's tragic, right? He's here begging them to accept the present, the gift that he can't get, but he leaves them with that legacy. He leaves them with that love of Israel. They at least have a role model to look at it and say, you know what? If Moshe cares so much, it must be worth fighting for, and we'll fight for it, even if we're going to be on the East side. We understand what you're saying, Moshe. And you see that Moshe gets the message across and leaves that legacy with the next generation. So the only thing I'll just add is that Al Derech Drash, both of these parshiot, both the Matos Maaseh, where we actually read about the story, and Vayet Hanan, where we read about Moshe's Redvarim, and Vayet Hanan, where we read about Moshe's retelling of the story and reminiscing about the story, happened during the 3 weeks, right? And Al Derech Drash, it works out very nice, that in the time of the year we're trying to get ourselves to feel the loss of the Beit HaMikdash and full sovereignty in Israel and everything that comes with it, right? The parshiyah that we're focusing on are Moshe's final plea to the Jews, please appreciate what it is you had, right? Because if you want to inspire the Jewish people to do tshuva so that they'll get Israel back and Beis HaMikdash back, the best way to do it is to give an example of someone who really understood what it was that they had, right? And if you see how much Moshe loved it, maybe you'll appreciate what it is you've lost. If you appreciate what it is you've lost, maybe you'll fight to get it back. So I think, you know, Al Derech Drash is the perfect sort of series of parshiot to read in the 3 weeks, because they get us in the mind of realizing what it was that we once had so that we'll care more to try to get it back when we see it through Moshe's eyes.